This is KBOX Heart of the Arts Podcast. I'm Greg Kostraba. For 10 years, Charles Stepanek served as the music director of Church of the Ascension in Fountain Hills. He has a new album out on Heart Dance Records called The Solo Piano Project Volume 1 and is on the phone from Colorado Springs. Charles, welcome.
Hello, Greg. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. Before we talk about the new album, tell us what you're doing these days for folks that may remember you here in the Valley.
Most of the time these days, I am split between, I think, two main projects. And one of them is I run an online music education business called Pianist Academy. So you can find videos all over YouTube. I think in the last two and a half years that I've been running that business, I've released 150 pieces of content. All education-based, almost all for classical pianists, throwing in a few other things here and there. I mean, that is also paired with standalone on-demand course content that I produce and sell for a lot of self-taught pianists, a little bit for piano teachers themselves, anybody that's really interested in learning more about piano. And some of that is kind of general information, and others are like master classes about very specific pieces of repertoire. That's about half of how I devote my time these days. And the other half is to composition, arranging, and recording projects. And those two things keep me very busy. I have also about 15 private students that I teach one-on-one, mostly virtually, which I think it's a relatively new thing for lots of people, really since COVID times. So everything is done online. I have multiple cameras set up on my end so they can see the top-down view of my hands, a side view over my shoulder, and I can demonstrate all kinds of things. And usually my students also have a similar setup. It's really, really fun. I can teach people all over the world right from my living room.
You talk about a lot of the things you're doing with the piano. How did you get interested in the piano in the first place?
That goes way back. So I have a sister about 8 years older than I am, and she was taking piano lessons from the very first thing I can ever remember. There was always a grand piano in the house. My dad bought my mom a baby grand for their second anniversary, well before I was born. And so my sister took lessons. And apparently, I don't actually remember this, but I've been told that when I was around 3 years old, my sister would finish practicing and I would go up to the piano and try to plunk out what she was working on by ear. And apparently it sounded good enough or close enough that my parents thought, well, he really needs lessons because something is happening there. So that's really how the interest began. I was surrounded by music and by piano music, and it seemed very natural. I can't really remember a time in my life that I wasn't practicing or getting ready for something with the piano.
And then you came to study with Robert Hamilton at ASU. Why ASU? And what did you experience coming from the Midwest to here in the hot, dry desert?
My family used to vacation from the Chicago area where I grew up, used to take vacations to the Phoenix area. And so I had already been to Phoenix two or three times during my teen years, and we just loved it. That was actually the biggest reason I even put out an application, was because we had always, well, vacationed in the wintertime, and it's just gorgeous, especially coming from snowy, blustery Chicago. And so I thought, well, okay, I know I love it in Phoenix, so I'll audition there. Then when I actually came to take the audition, and I thought, well, this is really a nice place, and the practice facilities were amazing. Almost all Steinway pianos, all in really, really good shape. The performance hall was amazing, as I'm sure you know, having been to Katzen Hall. And I played well. And so two things ended up happening after the audition. I got a wonderful offer from ASU financially to come and study. A month after I took auditions and was accepted, I came back, I flew back, and I got to talk with many of the faculty members. And Robert Hamilton, who I ended up studying with, was one of the people. I didn't even plan on speaking with him. We kind of ran into each other in the hallway, and he had an extra 10 minutes, so we got to chat. And he gave me one of his albums. And I fell in love with his playing, and he was just such a wonderful man when I got to talk with him and meet in person. And I thought, this is really the place to go.
Let's talk about your new album for a bit. I listen to lots of new releases here at KBOK, and some of them are pretty well produced. Some are very well produced, and others, well, not so much. But yours is really exceptional, and I know you have experience as a recording engineer. Did you end up recording yourself, or how did that whole process work?
Yes. The short answer is yes, I recorded myself. Now, the thing that I think is going to stun a lot of people, I actually did blind tests with some listeners, some kind of, I guess we'll call them fans of mine. I sent some of the tracks before the release was public, and I asked people, well, where do you think I went to record this? And, you know, what kind of piano was it? And I got a lot of responses, mixed responses from people, but it was usually, you know, oh, this sounds like a really beautiful space. I'm not sure where it is because it doesn't sound familiar. And then I would share with people that I did it on a digital keyboard using a sample library of a beautiful Yamaha CFX piano, but I did it all in my studio at home. And when people hear it, they have this very different experience. They're very surprised that it's actually not an acoustic piano that they're hearing. They're hearing a version of one, sure, but it's not. I didn't actually go out into a space and bring a bunch of equipment with me. I did it all in my little home studio.
Wow. That's different.
It's very, very different. And I know that if you heard the album and you knew that already, I think there are a lot of people would say, oh, I can hear that and I can hear the difference. But it was interesting that not a single person that I did a blind test with, who I highly respect, all of the people that I asked to take a listen, none of them could identify without being told that it was a virtual instrument and not a real acoustic piano in a real concert space.
Well, let's talk about the actual content of it rather than just the production of it. What were you striving for, and why did you call it the Solo Piano Project Volume 1?
I'll preempt the story with a little bit of history. Back in 2013, I put out my first album of, let's say, arrangements. It was a holiday album, but that was my first dive into arranging music that was already written by someone else. And that kind of paved the way for a lot of projects that I have done since then. A couple years later, I had this idea. It was actually after hearing John Williams conduct the Phoenix Symphony when he was in town. And I thought, I really love music from the movies. I love cinematic work. I love orchestral music. And I think there's a really cool opportunity to bring that type of music to the solo piano recital setting. At the time, and I still really believe this is true, that there aren't many concert-worthy arrangements of that music for solo piano. There's a lot of things published that are, they sound kind of like the original recording, or there you can hear the bones of the music, but there isn't much where you really hear every section of the orchestra doing everything that was planned by the composer, yet done in a way that's actually possible to execute with only two hands at a single instrument. The goal of that project was then, how can I create arrangements of music that really a lot of people know already, whether they like classical music or they don't, they know it. And I think a lot of people, especially outside of typical classical music listening, think of film scores as close as they get to the classical world. And I thought, this is a great opportunity to actually share with those people how wonderful classical music can be and pair recital programs of some music from the movies with maybe classical music that was used in movies, like Claire de Lune has been used in countless movies, and then share a couple other classical pieces and just try to show people, you know, if you like cinematic music, you probably like classical music and you don't even realize it. And since then, I've just really continued down that road, continuing more and more arrangements of especially movie scores. Last year, I thought, well, maybe it's time to take a look at some great orchestral music in the classical canon itself and see, are there ways that I can arrange this for solo piano that are new and that are different? Maybe there are already arrangements that exist, but I feel like they could be perhaps improved upon in some way or made to be even more authentic to the original recording, to the original orchestration. So this whole combination of projects is where this latest album was born out of, let's say. The project is, how can I take music that is not originally for piano and turn it into solo piano repertoire, and turn it into repertoire that is concert worthy? And volume one, because I intend for there to be at least a volume two, if not more beyond that.
Let's talk about how you do some of this specifically. How do you create an orchestral sound with a piano? Doing things like Liszt may have done 150, 200 years ago, or new things that you've kind of come up with all by yourself.
Liszt was a master arranger, and he wrote so many arrangements of great works. When I began these projects, especially the cinema project in 2016, I spent quite a bit of time diving into Liszt's transcriptions and arrangements of opera and symphonies and things like that, and really trying to wrap my head around and wrap my fingers around the techniques that he used to bring a lot of those scores to life on just a piano. And so that's where the style of my arranging began. And since that time, there are things that to me stand out, and to people that know a lot of my arranging, they stand out as my personality and my arranging style. But I think a lot of it has to do with tastefully creating big texture. So texture that really expands across the entire length of the keyboard that can show all of this orchestration. But obviously, the hands can only be in two places at a time. We can only really reach certain notes at certain times. And so there's an art in deciding, do I leave part of a phrase out from one section of the orchestra? Do I leave maybe half of a flute line out where it's there, but it may be really buried by the string section, for example? Or do I allude to a little bit of that in the wrong register? Wrong, I'm putting in air quotes. Do I put it in the wrong register, but do I give the listener this sense that that part is still truly there, and then find a way to link it to the correct register when there's an opening to do that? And I do all of this arranging by ear, so I'm not looking at the orchestral score. I don't pull it out. I don't have it in front of me. I pull out all of the sections by ear and I figure out what they're doing and which ones to me stand out the most as being really, we have to have this in the finished product, and which others are more supportive. And then on a kind of a measure by measure basis, the arrangement starts to be crafted.
Can you give us a specific example or two from the new album that shows off your technique of arranging?
There are two that I would maybe specifically point out. One of those would be in the Flower Duet, which is the first track on the album. The B section of the aria, the original orchestration is just strings. And so we hear the strings swell back and forth, and there's no way for me to do that. I cannot, you know, for example, once you play a note on the piano, it's going away immediately. We cannot crescendo like a string instrument with a bow can, like any wind player can. To compensate for that, I write arpeggiation. Is what it is on the piano is a series of notes, not notes that are side by side, which would form a scale instead, but notes that skip. And over time, and with the pedal down, you can create these really expansive textures using that approach. So in the Flower Duet, in the middle of that, there's only a single voice part, and you'd hear that on the top of the arrangement. Left hand is doing this very quick up and down and up and down movement around the keyboard, and that is arpeggiation. While the lower part of the right hand, like the thumb and the index finger, they're almost like trills. So two notes right next to each other that move around in a way where I can continue to play the melody with the upper part of the hand, the pinky, and but allow the rest of the hand to continue to add texture. I think that's a spot where you can truly hear my style of writing.
the one thing I would really like to ask about is the left-hand version of O Mio Bambino Caro, because it flows and it's beautiful. Was it a lot of work to be able to figure this out, how to get it to do it, and then how to actually get your left hand to play all of it?
This is actually the first piece I have arranged for just a single hand. Similar to what we talked about earlier, I looked to one of the composers that I feel is a master of that type of composition, and I looked at work by Scriabin for the piano, and just studied a little bit of how are different parts of the hand being used, and what can I pull from that, and what can I learn from that, and then apply it to a totally different piece of music. I think the most difficult part about the combination of both the writing and the actual technical execution at the piano is that the pedal work has to be really precise and really intricate, because we're relying on the right foot, the damper pedal, to sustain and create this whole texture for the melody to sit on top of. And we only have one hand playing, so nothing can truly be connected with the fingers. The hand is jumping around all over the place on the keyboard, and the pedal has to be done just right. Otherwise, we'll have gaps in the texture, and all of a sudden, it'll sound like we're missing a whole bunch of music. It'll sound like, oh, it's only the melody's happening. Or if the pedal is overdone, then the melody gets blurred together, and it doesn't sound like the aria anymore. I had to choose, in arranging it, what notes are fit well enough together to add interest, but don't add so much dissonance that they can't be pedaled through. And then where do the pedal changes need to happen? Because a lot of times they don't end up happening in a very traditional place. Because where the harmony would change in the original is not exactly where it can change in the arrangement, because of it only being played by one hand. It's a very interesting challenge. It's probably one of my favorite pieces of the six on the album to play, now that it's written.
Well, Charles, it's been a lot of fun talking with you. Appreciate you spending some time with us. The new album's called The Solo Piano Project Volume 1, just out on Heart Dance Records. Thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Greg. Thanks so much.
For KBOX Heart of the Arts Podcast, I'm Greg Kostraba.